Don't you love coming to church? Our friend, Brother Larry Booker, says church is where you go to get your head screwed on straight. And there's a lot of truth to that, but I just love the presence of God and the fellowship of God's people. And we are delighted today to have a friend and a wonderful apostolic resource in the house in the form of Brother Steve Pixler. And we're so glad that he took time out of a very busy schedule and made time for us to come over here. The weekend was great with marriage retreat. And we're looking forward to this morning. Just a note this evening, a couple of things. Last Sunday night, we came to church and the lights were out. And we sadly had to retreat and go home. But that was the night we were scheduled to receive our launch into the deep offering. And so tonight, we'll go ahead and take care of that. And also tonight, we're going to start the sign up for a new pictorial directory. And how many of you know it's time that we had a new pictorial directory? But so, you know, there's a lot of new faces we need to put in there. And then we need to get your face up to date because you're not the same as you were a few years ago. We need to get an up-to-date picture. So they'll be signing up in the foyer this evening. And you'll see on the calendar the upcoming 3 days that those photo shoots will be taking place. Brother Pixler, we love your ministry. We appreciate your spirit, your attitude. And just in a brief session together, we're finding out that these churches have a lot in common besides the basic apostolic doctrine. And it's interesting how that happens through the course your experience in the kingdom of God. Brother Pixler teaches all over the country about courting, about dating being preparation for divorce. Divorce practice. Okay, I want to get your terminology right. And I didn't know that anybody else taught that at all and didn't really care because it just makes good sense. But here's another man with common sense. But we want you to come, Brother Pixler, and we want to hear what the Holy Ghost is telling you. Let's make him welcome in the house of the Lord today. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Is everybody at church today? Let's lift our hands before the Lord one more time. Let's feel after His presence and after His Spirit. God, You've been good to us. God, You've been good to us. Everyone lifting your hands before the Lord, feeling after His presence. Great God of heaven, You are exalted. Your name is exalted. You are worthy, Holy One. You are worthy, Holy One. You are worthy. Why don't we all clap our hands to the Lord together and give Him praise. Lift a shout of praise to God, everyone. Lord, we worship You, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Sutton, Sister Sutton, to all their family. This church family, thank you all very much for the invitation to be here. And let's go there. Okay. Make sure I don't start breaking something here. Be a great way to start, wouldn't it? Thank you very much for the invitation and for the opportunity to be here and heard so many good things about this church. And it's a pleasure to get better acquainted with your pastor. And his family enjoyed the marriage retreat. It was a retreat. We really did retreat into the hills, somewhere up on the side of some lake, somewhere, I don't know where we were, but it was great. It was beautiful. And we enjoyed that, and everybody was very kind and gracious and made me feel very much at home. hospitality already has just been so, so warm, and I appreciate it very much. God's been good to me. God's been good to you. Amen. He's been good to us. He has blessed us. Amen. Is that ready for me? You think so? Okay, let's try this. Let's see if this is ready for me. Is it just straight piano? I can't see. I'm going walking by faith here, not by sight. Did I do okay? Is that okay? Ready to preach now? The drummer, come and help me. It's called warm-ups. Especially on Sunday morning, people, you got to have warm-ups. I'm trying to make friends with this piano. Every piano, you know, has its own personality. That's the truth. People that play piano, they know that's the truth. And I've met some mean ones, I'm telling you right now. But this one's pretty friendly. I like this. I like this. In fact, I'm feeling kind of at home because I got just almost exactly the same thing at home. Y'all nervous? Does dead time make y'all nervous? This is not radio, so we can have a little dead air here. If you know this, sing this with me. Lord, I long to seek your face, to come into a holy place to worship. Worship you. Lord, I long to seek your face, to come into a holy place and a worship. Worship you. Singing with me, Lord, I long. Lord, I long to seek your face, come into a holy place and worship. Worship you, a place where your glory surrounds. Lord, I long to
reverence and my desire is to be with you. When I'm with you, I'm complete. My world stops turning when you're holding me. Lord, my desire is to be in your presence. So I'm running to you for another touch of heaven. Lord, I long to seek your face.
Sing it now.
To come into a holy place to worship. To worship you. Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars.
Sing it now.
I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power through. Savior God, to thee.
Lift your voice, sing now. How great thou art!
How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior.
You can sit down now. If I sing one more, I won't preach too long. Is that a deal?
No deal, huh? Let me see if I can sing this.
I know somebody in Alabama's got to like this. Can you put just a little bit of smoke in there? I don't mean cigarette smoke. I don't mean that. No. I mean a little glory cloud smoke. That's what I'm talking about. When I was lost and facing despair, I called on Jesus and he was there. And when I could not find my way, he shined his light down on me. Now the path I can see bright as day, and he gave me mercy for my sin. Said it didn't matter where I had been. It makes me wonder what I've ever done to deserve mercy from the Holy One. He gave me joy for my sorrow, and he gave me hope for my tomorrow. He gave me mercy. Oh, mercy. That's what he gave to me.
Get a witness now. Just call on Jesus. He'll be your friend. And he'll go with you all the way. Well, there is not a day till the end. And he'll give you mercy for your sin. It doesn't matter where you have been. It'll make you wonder what you've ever done to deserve mercy from the Holy One. He'll give you joy for your sorrow. Come on now. And he'll give you hope. That's what it gave to me. Oh, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God. Somebody give him praise because you found mercy. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Let's all stand together, everybody. Amen. Well, let's see here. The meal at noon is dinner. Around here. Is that right, or is it lunch? Lunch. Either way, we plan on eating, aren't we? But you know what? I got a feeling there's somebody in this place that's hungry for more than just a hamburger somewhere. That's right. And McDonald's will still be open after a while. But there may be somebody in this place that if they do not hear from God, it may be their moment gone forever. But if the Holy Ghost would come and help us right now, I feel like he's calling somebody. I feel like he's drawing somebody. Is anybody going to help me just a little bit in the Holy Ghost? Amen. Help me right now. Reach out to God. There may be somebody standing by you right now that's in desperate need of a miracle, in desperate need of a change in their life. Lift your voice. Cry out to the Lord. Holy Ghost, move. Work. Save us, God. The book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Thank you again, Brother Sutton, very much for the invitation to be here. And good to be with all of you. Philippians chapter 3. Was that a train? That's normal to hear that. I mean, it's not like an unusual thing. We shouldn't like be ducking or running. Or I just want to make sure if I hear it real loud while I'm preaching, I want to know whether to run and scream or just hold my peace. Just preach louder. Okay, that's my instruction. Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at verses 13 and 14. In fact, let's look at 12. I'd like to read the whole chapter, but we don't have time for that. Let's look at verses 12 through 14. Not as though I had already attained. Paul says, I have not yet arrived. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That is an incredible statement. That I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, when we read these words, the high calling in Christ Jesus, we think of a lofty vocation. But that's not what Paul is saying, even though it is a lofty vocation. But he is saying high as in up, as in upward. So he is saying that I am pressing toward the mark. That's the finish line. He's using the metaphor, the illustration of a race. I am pressing toward the mark, the finish line, for the prize. And the prize is the resurrection. We'll not take a lot of time to talk about that today, but that's the point Paul is making. The finish line is death, or translation at the coming of the Lord, being changed, rather. That's the finish line, the end of my days, my finishing my course, Paul said. That's the finish line. But the prize that awaits me at the finish line is the resurrection. And that's what Paul has in mind. For the resurrection, and he said that this prize is the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And it's that I want to talk about today. The upward call. The upward call. Great God and our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we stand before you today, trusting you now to take hold of these jars of clay and be the treasure within the earthen vessel. Work within us now that you might save us by your word. Give me words to speak and us all ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Can everyone who believes say amen?
Amen.
And you may be seated. Now keep your Bible open because we're going to look at these verses again. Beginning with verse 12. Thank you, sir. You know what the Bible says about that?
I do.
Yeah, it says you'll receive a prophet's reward, so whatever that means. May the Lord bless you richly. So what he said, bring a prophet, a cup of cold water, name of a prophet. Anyway, so I guess your challenge is to figure out whether or not I'm a prophet. Okay. Because all you may get is a janitor's reward, because that may be what I'm worthy of. But anyway, let's look here at verse 12. Paul says, now he goes back and talks about knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection and all of that. But then he says, I have not already attained. Verse 11, he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained. Now he's making that statement because there are people who are already beginning to teach that the resurrection is a purely spiritual event. And that because they had already been made alive, those who were dead in sins and trespasses are now made alive in Christ. There were already people who were beginning to teach that the resurrection was past already and overthrowing the faith of some, as Paul says to Timothy. And so it's important for Paul to emphasize that though I have the resurrection at work in me already, I do not believe that this present work of the resurrection within me is the completed work, but it is the seed of the completed work. It is the guarantee or the down payment, the earnest of the completed work. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. And he doesn't necessarily, he's not referring to morals or ethics, or he's referring to completeness. Not that I'm already complete or whole or finished. I've not yet achieved the goal. Amen. He said, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now this old English can get us a little confused right here, because when we think of apprehending, we generally only use the word in terms of apprehension. I felt some apprehension. And for us, it means trepidation or fear or uncertainty. And so when we see these words, sometimes it's hard for us to just immediately grasp what Paul is trying to say. But the word apprehend here means grasp or seize or lay hold on, a grip. And so he said, I do not count myself to have apprehended. He said, I follow after if that I may lay hold on that for which also I am laid hold upon of Christ Jesus. Now that's an incredible statement. I want you to think about it for just a moment. Paul is saying, I don't consider that I'm already everything I ought to be. And he's talking particularly in terms of coming to the resurrection. He believes there is still a future fulfillment of the resurrection ahead of him. He knows that the ultimate destiny of the people of God is new creation, new heavens, new earth. He understands that it is the hope of Israel. In fact, when he speaks of the hope of Israel in your Bible, he is referring to the resurrection. It's another way of saying the resurrection. When he speaks of the word hope, he's not just talking about a positive feeling about tomorrow, even though that certainly is a part of it. But he's talking about something much more specific than that. He is saying specifically, there is no hope for tomorrow apart from the resurrection. If in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. All men are miserable, he says, if there is no resurrection. But we're the most miserable of them all because we fell for a lie. That's basically what he's saying. And so he's saying then that this is the hope that we're all looking for. Your ultimate hope is not a raise on the job, even though we're probably all hoping for that. Your ultimate hope is not just that your kids will turn out all right, and we're really hoping for that. We're not just hoping for a good day tomorrow, but there is an ultimate hope for which we are all reaching that makes every other hope hopeful, that makes every other hope meaningful. We are hoping for the resurrection. We believe this is not all there is. We believe there's more to it than what you see around you right now. We're looking for a world where God's justice and God's holiness and God's righteousness
and God's mercy and God's goodness, where the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's what we're looking for. And we refuse to be satisfied with anything less. We sing the song every once in a while, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." You got to say it right now. I'm just a passing through. This world is not... Why do we say that? Well, ultimately, God is making all things new. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And we will rule with Christ. Jesus said, "You will rule with me on the earth." So he's ultimately going to make this creation new. But that is exactly what we're all longing for. The resurrection. There's something in your spirit that cannot be content with everyday life. That cannot be content with the in and outs of mundane existence. It cannot be satisfied with where you are and with what you're facing and what you're going through. And even the good experiences of life that satisfy you for a moment, they cannot satisfy for more than just a moment or two. Why? Because there's something deep down in your spirit that says, "I was not born to live in the grip of death. I was not born to live under the power of corruption. I was not born to be in the grip of sin and death. But I was born to live in the resurrection. I was born to be born again. I was born to be born from above. I was born to live as a new creation." If any man is in Christ, what is he? He's a new creature or a new creation. Behold, old things are passed away and all things have become new. I wonder if there's somebody right here today that maybe you're sitting in these pews today. Maybe you're sitting somewhere in this congregation today and you're feeling like life has no meaning and life has no hope and life has no purpose. You're in the right place, brother. You have showed up in the right place, sister. You're exactly where you ought to be because we are a people who have hope. We believe there is a destiny. We believe there is a future. We believe there is a rhyme and a reason to life. You're not just a cosmic accident. You're not just a tadpole seven times removed. You're not just the little tadpole, you know, that was in the pond and he's all come up out of all the scum, you know, just floating on top of the water and he's... comes and he turns into a frog, ribbit, and he hops up out of there. He begins to develop into this monkey-like creature, grows a tail. All the stuff that monkeys do. I wish my kids were here, they could tell you. And then before you know it, he begins to stand upright. All that hair begins to fall off and his tail somewhere along the way just falls in the... He looks in the mirror one day and he says, "Oh, my name's Bill." I want to know who was the idiot that first came up with all of that. Somebody said it was Charles Darwin. I cannot think that man could have been that stupid to think that up all by himself. He had to have some help. That'd take a whole class of idiots to come up with that. We have hope. We believe there's purpose. We believe there's destiny. We believe that God has created you for something. So look what he says. "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after." I am in pursuit. Look at this. "That I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ." That I may grab hold. Look at this now. "That I may grab hold of that for which Christ grabbed hold of me." Now, brother, what a beautiful picture of salvation. To think that when you got saved, it wasn't just because you decided to go to a church on Sunday night. I think I'll go down there and see what all these crazy people are about. You didn't just come down here just because you wanted to hear the music. You didn't come in here just because you've been drinking for too long. You was trying to, you know, dry out. It wasn't just because AA failed you and NA failed you and your mama failed you and everybody else failed you. It wasn't just because you was in desperate need for a new start in life. I think I'll turn over a new leaf. No, let me tell you what happened to you. You may have been sitting on a bar stool somewhere, nursing a bottle. You may have been
Yeah, that's right. You may have been putting quarters in the jukebox somewhere and dancing across the dance floor. And you, there ain't no telling where you were when God found you. You may have been smoking some kind of drugs or something, or putting a needle in your arm, or you may have been off somewhere going to school, going to try to be the richest man in your town. Who knows exactly what you were doing and where you were? Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a testimony. But there was a day when the mighty hand of God reached down to where you were. I know you think that you're serving God today because I made up my mind. I'm determined. I'll hold out to the end. Like the little kid said that song, I'm determined to hold out to the end. You ever heard that song? I am determined to hold out to the end. Gee, that's way old. That's way back there when I was a kid. One little kid thought it was, I am a turnip with a hole out to the end. It's hard to sing that with any real anointing. But it doesn't matter what you say. I'm doing this because I made up my mind. Let me tell you what actually happened to you. Somebody got hold of you. Somebody laid hold on your spirit. There was a divine hand that reached down to where you were and seized you in the middle of your situation. And you're here today because God got a grip on you and He will not let you go. That's why you're here today. I'm preaching to somebody that may be visiting in this service today that might even be sitting here right now wondering, what in the world am I doing here? How did I end up in the middle of all these crazy people jumping and screaming and shouting and dancing and telling the devil all kinds? Well, what am I doing here in this? Let me tell you what you're doing. There was a divine hand that reached down and got a hold of you. In fact, He's probably had a hold of you for a long, long time. And He's been pulling you, and He's been calling you, and He's been drawing you. And I've got news for you. He ain't planning on letting you go. He means to save you. I wonder if there's anybody in this place that can testify. It wasn't your own determination that brought you out. It wasn't your own made-up mind that brought you out, but it was God giving you a new mind. It was something that laid hold on you from another world. Can anybody testify that if it had been up to you, you wouldn't even still be here today? There would have been moments I would have been lost a long time ago. I would have given up. I would have thrown in the towel. I would have quit. I would have walked away a long time ago because I didn't have it in me to make it all the way. But when I thought I was going astray, something began to pull on me, and a hand got hold of me and kept me when I could not keep myself. Anybody besides me knows it's the truth. He kept me when I could not keep myself. So, brethren, he said, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting the things which are behind. We could preach on that for a long time. Forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth, I press. Paul is giving us the image of a runner in a race. But the image he's giving here is of a man running a race, not just the 100-yard dash, or not just a short, quick burst kind of race, but he's giving us the image here of a man who's running a marathon, and he's running a long race, and he's been running for a long time, and for many miles, and now he's in the home stretch. But the home stretch is headed up the hill where the city is resting upon the mountain. And he's headed up the side of the mountain. And because he's running up the mountain, he's having to press his way, lean his way into the run. And he's running up the mountain with everything within him. He's pressing toward the finish line. All the moments of pacing himself, the hours of settling into a steady routine are behind him. But now there's something in his spirit that says, if I'm going to make it to the finish line first, I must press toward the mark. And so here's the image of a man who's running up the mountain, trying to reach that higher place where the crowd is waiting with the garland crowned to put up on his head, to give him the Stephanos, the crown. That's where the name Stephen comes from, is crowned. I happen to know that because that's my name.
And so he's running up the mountain. And he's leaning into the incline. Are you following me now? Anybody working with me just a little? Anybody feel like that might be where you are in your own walk with God? You feel like you're on that lap. I'm not talking about you're going to die tomorrow. I'm just talking about there's something in your spirit that feels like I'm in the last leg of the journey. Our Lord is coming again. And we're headed home. And we're going to the top of the mountain. We've come out of the world far below. We lived in the valley long enough. We were caught in the culture of the valley of Sodom for way too long. But now we're bursting with that last burst of speed, and we're breaking free from the power, the gravitational pull of the valley down below, and we're leaning into the mountain because we have come to the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, to Mount, somebody help me now, to Mount Zion. God is calling you out of the world. He's calling you out of the valley. He's calling you out of this world and its environs. He's calling you to a higher place. He's calling you to a higher place. But here's what Paul said. He said, forgetting the things which are behind, I'm putting the world behind me. I'm putting my old friends behind me. I'm putting my old pleasures behind me. I'm putting my drinking behind me. I'm putting the adultery and the fornication behind me. I'm putting the drugs behind me. I don't think Paul had a problem with all that stuff, but I'm preaching to you. Yeah, and I'm preaching to somebody here today that the pull of the world is trying to keep you paralyzed, trying to keep you in captivity and hold you back from the purpose of God. But I'm trying to tell you that God knew you before you were born, before you were formed in your mother's womb. He called you by name. He knows your destiny. He knows your purpose. He knows the plans that he has for you, for good and not for evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Is anybody going to help me preach just a little bit? There may be somebody in this place that needs to see you say amen. But when you're running up the mountain, gravity keeps trying to pull you back. While you're trying to run up the mountain, something keeps wanting to draw you back to the world that you're coming out of. There's some of you right now trying to make decisions in your life about your future, about plans that you've made, about where you're going in your life. And you've got stuff pulling on you. Stuff pulling on you. Stuff trying to call you back, trying to draw you back, trying to keep you mired in the quagmire, the quicksand, the swamp of the valley below. You're trying to get up out of that muck and that mire and pull yourself out. I'm trying to tell you the only way you're ever going to be free is you've got to press toward the mountain. You've got to press toward the mountain. There's got to be something inside you that says, I'm not staying here anymore. I've lived here long enough. Devil, your time is up. World, your time is up. Sin, your time is up. I'm done with it. It's behind me now. I'm going to the mountain. I'm in a race and I intend to finish this race. I intend to go all the way and stand. Forgetting those things which are behind. Somebody help me now. Forgetting those things which are behind and doing what? Reaching forth, he said. I'm reaching forth. And then he said, I press toward the finish line. I'm pressing. There's a lot of distractions around me. But if I'm going to run and win this race, I've got to be focused on that finish line. And I can't let anything get in my way. It doesn't matter if the crowd lining the streets is yelling at me from the sidelines. It doesn't matter if my mama's over there waving a handkerchief, rubbing tears from her eyes because her boy is finally winning a race after all these years of practice. It doesn't matter if I've got friends and family and first and second and third and tenth and twelfth cousins hanging all around and friends from high school and people from all over town coming to see their favorite hometown boy run the race. It doesn't matter. When I'm in the last leg, I don't have time to be thinking about anything else but the finish line. The finish line. That's all I got my mind on. is a finish line. I want to know now, what's the devil been doing to try to get you distracted? What have you been wrestling with in your spirit that's trying to draw you away back to the things of the world? I'm trying to tell you that when you're running the race and you're pressing and you're leaning into the mountain, there's going to be a gravitational pull. It's going to call you from the valley below. It's going to try to get you slipping and sliding back down. It's called backsliding. And there's some people that backslide before they ever get saved. Because when God's calling them forward, the world keeps pulling them back. And pulling them back. I'm preaching to somebody here today that feels like you're in the middle of a tug of war. There's something pulling on you from below trying to. But let me preach the rest of that verse now. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth, I press toward the mark, toward the finish line. For what? For the prize. For the resurrection. Of what? The prize of what? Of the high calling. But remember what I told you about that high calling. It's not just a lofty vocation or a worthy occupation. No. The high calling is the upward call. What I'm trying to preach to you is that God did not leave you in this struggle by yourself. And God did not abandon you to the sway of the world. Let me tell you who's calling you in the first place. Let me tell you who it is that's been drawing you and waking you up in the middle of the night and been making you stop and think about things you hadn't thought about in a long time. Let me tell you who it is that's bringing tears to your eyes when you hear a song of worship sing, when people are dancing and running and yelling and screaming and you don't know why it is, you just want to stand there and cry. Let me tell you what's happening in your spirit right now. There's an upward call. The Holy Ghost has got hold of you and he's pulling with a force greater than the world below could ever exert. If you'll just yield yourself to the drawing, if you'll just yield yourself to the upward call, I'm trying to tell you that while the world is trying to pull you back, there is a God who is greater, who has apprehended you. He has seized you. He has laid hold on you. What are you worried about? It's about time for you to quit wondering whether or not you're going to be saved. It's about time for you to quit living in fear about whether or not you're going to make the rapture. It's about time for you to quit letting the devil torment you about whether or not you're going to be an overcomer. I'm trying to tell you, when God gave you the Holy Ghost, he gave you the magnetic pull and the power of another world. When God gave you the Holy Ghost, he put his own spirit within you and he began to pull you ever higher. Somebody stand with me right now. I'm preaching to you about an upward call. I'm preaching to you about the drawing power of heaven that wants to pull somebody up out of their dilemma. I'm talking about the power of heaven that wants to draw someone. You say, but preacher, you don't understand my past. Oh, I'm talking about a power greater than your past. But preacher, you don't understand my family. But I'm talking to you about a power greater than your family. You say, oh, but you don't understand the addictions I've got myself into. But I'm preaching to you about a power greater than addiction. But preacher, you don't know. I got messed up on drugs. And I'm a crack addict. And I'm on crystal meth. And I can't get free from this stuff. You don't understand. I tried. I went to rehab. I tried to dry out. You don't understand. I just got caught up in this affair, and I can't get out of this affair. You don't understand, preacher. I've got so much pulling on me. My boyfriend, my girlfriend, my sister, my brother, my mama, my daddy, my college, my career, my money, my ambitions, my goals, my achievements, my desire. You don't understand, preacher. I love to party on Friday night. I've always been a wild animal on Friday. You don't understand. There's something inside me. I just keep being pulled back to the old way of living. You don't understand. I got myself entrapped on the internet. You don't understand, preacher. I'm so pulled into all this stuff. I'm trying to preach to you about a power that comes from our Creator himself. And it is a power so great and a power so strong that when he apprehends you, when he lays his hand upon you, brother, I'm trying to tell you, there ain't a devil in hell big enough. There's not a power in the world strong enough. When somebody realizes what got hold on me, what got hold on me was the mighty, I might have been going down for the third time. I might have been drowning in a sea of despair, but somebody reached and grabbed me and pulled me out. Am I preaching to you?
Am I preaching to you? In one sense, I'm preaching to everybody. Because if you're planning on being saved, it's only going to be because heaven saves you. Because the power of another world puts an upward call in your spirit that the world cannot overcome. But I wonder today if I'm preaching to somebody that's been wrestling with a decision. Wrestling with a decision in your spirit. Wrestling with a decision. Caught. Like a man stretched out on a cross. Pulled between two worlds. Well, I'm trying to tell you, the reason Jesus could go to the cross is he knew he had been given the promise of the resurrection. And I'm preaching to you today. There's resurrection power in this house. Everyone right now, if you will, bow your head, close your eyes. I want you to think about where you are. I want you to think about your situation. And I want to ask you the question. Do you want to cross that finish line? Does anybody want to make it? Do you want to be saved? Then I'm calling to you right now. This altar's open. Is this okay this morning, brother? This altar's open to you right now. If there's anyone that says, God, I'm coming. There's one. Is there another? Is there anybody that feels the pull of the upward call? And says, world, you're not holding me back. Friends, you're not holding me back. Pleasure, you're not holding me back. If you would, everyone that can come, if you're visiting with us, why don't you come with us? This altar's open to everyone. Lay a hand on somebody's shoulder right now. Let's begin to minister one to another. And let's begin to pray the word down into our spirits. Cry out to Jesus. Lift your voice. Cry out to him. Save me, God.
Wrap me in your arms, Lord.
Save me, God. Save me. Rescue me. I perish.
Take me to that place, Lord. To that secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you. Wrap me.
To that You can.